Well, good morning. We're going to go ahead and get this party started. And it is so good to see so many of you brave those getting slick conditions out there. I'm disappointed Mike Kreider's not here because I wanted to tell him that there's 30 days, 13 hours, 58 minutes, and 31 seconds until opening day of baseball. But he's probably at spring training. I don't know. Welcome to worship. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. As we journey through this season, let us seek to grow in faith, hope, and love. We're going to have a missions moment. I think Amy is going to come forward and give us a little ditty on Christ Among Neighbors.
Morning. I did not rehearse this. Suzanne didn't want to come out because of the weather a little bit. So I will just let you know that we do partner with Christ Among Neighbors. We are one of the churches, one of the few churches that do that, which has been very helpful with vetting people that come in and ask for requests. Money for heating and rent and different things. So when people come in, you know, Judy will ask, have you gone to Christ Among Neighbors? And if they haven't, she will send them there. They will vet them. And then if there is still a need, they will then send them back to us and we will discuss that. But Christ Among Neighbors, they help out so many people in our community. Like I said, I volunteer there. I don't know why I'm out of breath. Gloria volunteers there as well. Linda was a big part in getting that started. You are right. She had a way of making or getting people involved in things. But we see homeless people come in, mothers that are just struggling to make ends meet, and just other couples. Some things are electricity bills have increased immensely, and so those are just the types of things that Christ Among Neighbors helps with. So thank you for any donations that you may give to them.
I want to thank Elizabeth for traveling here today. We so enjoy when she's with us and the beautiful music that she provides. During this season of Lent, we are called to reflect on our lives, to stop, look, and listen. Stop. Stop and rest a while. Stop sinning. Look. Look inward for an honest self-examination. Look upward to see the cross of Jesus with healing and love. And look forward to the hope of the resurrection. Listen. Listen to the voice of God, the words of Christ, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. As we now listen to the third-person accounts of biblical characters, let us reflect on our own lives and ask ourselves, am I guilty?
Priest of Jesus' time was feeling threatened. His authority was being questioned. Why? First, it was that rabble-rouser John, screaming out in the desert, living on locusts and honey. Well, what an idiot. This didn't give much credibility, just another of those malcontents who rise up occasionally. Caiaphas and all his minion, his officials, they were priests and they were in control. At least until some claimed they saw a sign from heaven when John baptized that fellow Jesus. Rumors spread quickly and were believed too easily by the common, ignorant folk. The people said that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. They had seen his miracles. The blind could see, the lame could walk, even those who had never before walked. Suddenly, they were well and whole like everyone else. The council was asked what they thought of all of this. The priest just laughed at these fools. But with the stories of his healing and on the Sabbath and his turning water into wine, Caiaphas began to get worried. His power over the people was in jeopardy. They had to do something about this blasphemer. What about me as one of the leaders of the church? What about us as the faithful? Am I interested in what power I might have over the people in the pew? Do I have false pride in my membership on committees? Do I call my position a place of service? Is that what it really is? Am I threatened by the commandments given in the Bible? Do I really love my neighbors as myself? Am I guilty?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we enter this Lenten season, today being the first Sunday of Lent, may we look ahead. May we remember the sacrifice that you made for us, your death on the cross, and your resurrection on Sunday. May that be what focuses our thoughts as we go through this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now have the praise team come forward.
If you'll stand with us, please. The first song we'll be singing is The Heart of Worship. Breath. I'll bring you more.
much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
The next song we'll sing is Grace Like Rain.
Like rain falling.
tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. Tears are a language God understands. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior, bearing shame and scorn.
This time I'm going to invite Ray to come and read our scripture for today and ask God to bless Bill as he brings our morning message.
All right, good morning. I'm going to be, if you would like to follow along, I'm going to be reading in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 29. Starting at verse 29, it says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? May the Lord bless the hearing of his word.
Thank you, Ray. Can you, everyone hear me? Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? What Siri really meant to say is she heard I was preaching, and that made her think, we got to get going and moving. Bill's going to be up here. Well, luckily, I only had 2 days to prepare, so maybe a little shorter. But I wanted to tell you the story I told yesterday because it'll probably come out. And anyways, Denny told it to me, so I'm going to tell you this story. There was this man, he went and asked his wife, he said, what's for dinner? And she said, well, why is it always on me to make dinner? Why don't you make dinner? Why don't you decide what for dinner? And he said, honey, it's the law. And she looked puzzled. And she said, looked at him, she said, what law? He said, you're guaranteed 3 meals in prison. It was a men's breakfast, okay? We had to. I know. Today we're going to talk about being Christian, and that means being nicer to your wife. Amen? So what does it mean to be Christian? What does that really mean? You know, in our society, a lot of people say they're Christian. And, you know, it's just how they identify. But does it really mean that they're Christian? It's a good question, isn't it? Does where you go to church make you a Christian? If you're in the fanciest building, does that make you a Christian? If you're in a house or a hut? Doesn't matter what church you go to, does it? Does the clothes you wear, the way you dress, does that make you a Christian? No, got all kinds of different parts of the world. People are going to dress all kinds of different ways. It's not the dress that makes you a Christian. Is it the car you drive that makes you a Christian? Do Christians only drive Chevys or something? Is that the way it goes? No, it doesn't, does it? Doesn't matter what car you drive. Does the job you have make you a Christian? No, doesn't matter what job you have either, does it? So what does it mean to be Christian? What does it mean to you to be a Christian? What does it mean to all of us? And you know, the first thing and most important thing is that you're what? Saved, exactly. That you found salvation. So let's start right there. I had Ray read the scripture, and I think this is such a beautiful scripture because the first people that get saved are some of the same people that said, crucify him. You realize that? Some of the same people that would have been cheering 40 days earlier, crucify him, are in this crowd when the apostles have the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost, and they're there preaching, and these same people get saved. Isn't that an amazing God we serve and an amazing Savior in Jesus? And let's keep reading there in Acts and see how this finishes up. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So right away we have people that said, crucified him, and Peter doesn't play with words. He says, you who have crucified him, by the way, he calls them out. Immediately they're pricked in their heart, And what do? They repent and they believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know, salvation is not hard. It's not based on works, for it's a gift. It is a gift of God. But being a Christian is a little different. And we're going to see that today. So we see that the first thing, though, and the most important thing is that you're saved. Because if you're saved, it's not going to matter what else you do. If you're not saved, I'm sorry, it's not going to matter what else you do. You're not going to be Christian. Being a Christian means that you're saved. However, there's a lot of people that think this means you have a get-out-of-hell-free card. You see the one I've put up here. You know, when I was working consultant, I have a man I worked with. He's still a friend of mine, and he's from Egypt. And so he is of the Muslim religion. And we've had many long discussions, and I've witnessed to him time and time again about Jesus. But, you know, his conception of Christians was this, that basically they lived however they wanted, and they thought just because they had said a certain prayer, they had this get out of hell free card in their pocket, and that there was no difference between them and the rest of the world. Isn't it a shame that that's our perception in other parts of the world, that that's how they see Christians? And so I said, no, those aren't true Christians. If a true Christian, you will see their life is changed by having Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what does it mean to be Christian? What does Jesus say? Well, in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are Jesus' commandments? Does this mean we have to go back and read all of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy? No, thank goodness. That'd be a long time, wouldn't it? Well, luckily, Jesus tells us what the biggest commandments are, and they pertain to all the commandments. If we look at Matthew 22, in verse 37, he says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wasn't Jesus very nice to summarize all the law and the prophets for it? So there you have it. The two main commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor a little. Is that what it is? To put up with them, maybe? No, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? John 14, verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So the good thing is we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you've ever seen those cartoons, right, where there's an angel on one side and a devil on the other side? Okay, well, the Holy Spirit is like that angel on one side, and he's going to direct you. And he's going to help you do the right thing, and he's going to help you to know truth. But the rest of the world, they don't have that. They only have the other guy, unfortunately. And he's telling them the opposite of what the Holy Spirit is going to tell them. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, yea, still live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he it is that loveth me. Again, we see Jesus saying, if you keep my commandments, you love me. And we just went over his commandments. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It seems pretty important to Jesus that we keep these commandments he's given us, doesn't it? It's not just that we repent and get saved, and that's great, we want to do that, But it's that because he's our Savior and we love him, we want to follow his commandments. If you love your parents, you want to obey them, right? You want to do well by them because you love them. The same thing. If you love your children, you want to do well by them. The people you love, you don't mind if they tell you something to do. It's the people that we don't like we have a problem with telling us something to do. Should there be a difference between believers and non-believers? What do you think? Should there be a difference? Should we be able to tell if someone's a believer? I think we should. I think that's a pretty good question. You have heard it, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Folks, that's a hard passage, is it not? We're all human. I've failed this passage many times. Cut me off in traffic and you'll see my not-so-good side come out. But this is what we're commanded to do. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? You understand what he's saying here, folks? It's real easy to love people that love you, isn't it? Well, what happens when people don't love you? Now, I'm going to tell you a story and give you an example of this. I have a friend named Tim. He's a little bit older than me, but he's one of my good friends. And Tim lived on a farm for a long time, and he did construction, but he also got into teaching the Bible and preaching a little. And so Tim and his wife decided to sell their farm. And he couldn't wait to move to a neighborhood so he would have neighbors. And Tim's one of those guys that he'll talk to anybody. You know, if you go somewhere with Tim, be prepared to witness and talk to somebody. Because Tim's just a friendly guy, and he's going to talk to somebody. So he moved to a neighborhood. He was so excited. And his closest neighbor, one of the meanest guys you could run into, and complained about everything Tim did. And sure enough, Tim, because he was a construction builder by trade also, he built onto his home and he put a wood stove in it. Well, this neighbor called the city council and complained that he couldn't live with the smoke that came out of that stove, that it was bothering him. He called the mayor and the city council. He went to all these troubles. And Tim, you know what he did? He prayed for him. And when the guy would literally be standing there cursing at him, he did not curse him back. He prayed for him. Now, he said there were times I wanted to order an airstrike on my neighbor. The flesh is the flesh. But he was nice to him and prayed for him, both him and his wife. And guess what? The neighbor moved out. Amen. But when the neighbor moved out, he had some issues and ended up actually coming and asking Tim to pray for him. And now this guy calls him regularly, and they have a friendship. So my friend didn't take the easy way, did he? It would have been real easy. I would have been irritated had my neighbor done all these things. It would have been real easy for him to curse him back. It would have been real easy not to bless him, not to pray for him. But he did what Jesus commands us to do, did he not? And in the end, he may have got somebody saved. He may have changed this person's life, this person's outlook. Hey, I know this is a hard commandment. I'm not preaching this just to you. I'm preaching it to myself. We all have this. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to bless those that curse you. It's hard to pray for your enemies. But still, we're commanded to do it. You know why? You know the key is? Because if they don't have Jesus, there's much worse that's going to happen to them than anything they've done to you. They're under God's wrath, sadly. So that's why we need to pray for them, because I don't wish anybody to hell. I don't think anyone here would do that either when you think about that. That's why we're commanded to pray for them and love on them. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." You know what he's saying here? We've been that neighbor before in our lives. The bad neighbor. We've all had sin in the past. We've all fell short, come short of the glory of God. So who are we? That's why we need to take on this commandment to love others, to love our enemies. Because, hey, we were once guilty as they were. Now we're not guilty, but there's only one reason for that. Not because we all of a sudden became these righteous, great people, is it? It's because we have Jesus Christ in our heart, and that's what makes a difference. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See that when you're not walking with God, you're under his wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together for Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank goodness. If we had to work to get to heaven, it would not be a fun journey. But we've been forgiven. That means we also need to forgive others. Does this mean we should live completely isolated? And I know everyone is familiar with this here. I used to pass them on my bicycle when I was a teenager. Does this mean we are to live completely isolated? Well, how are we ever going to get anybody saved if we isolate ourselves? How are we going to spread the good news? You know, if I did think that this was the way to live, to be saved, and I didn't tell anybody about it or spread that, what kind of person would I be then? Is it just for me and my family? The Bible tells us in Romans 12, 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, we are to be separate, not that we're separate from the world, but we're separate in the world. Because how else are we going to be an example to others? How else are we going to give the gospel to others? We also see, well, and how else are we going to give the good news? If we're just going to keep it to ourselves, that's kind of rude, isn't it? That wouldn't be very nice. Romans 10, verse 13 and 14 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher." And you know what? That's not just me. That's not just Pastor Galen. That's everyone in here. Everyone in here can be a preacher of the good news. Amen? And we can be sharing the good news with others. Imagine if you went to the Super Bowl party and you had this favorite dessert or snack you brought and you hid it, so that only you and maybe your buddy could have it. You kept it away from everyone else there and didn't share. That's a very good friend, is it? You're just keeping it to yourself. No, we should have the good news. We should be like my friend Tim, and we should want to share that with everybody. This is the thing that's hard to understand sometimes. You will never influence the world by trying to be like it, right? Even though we're in the world, the way we influence people is not to join them in their sin. It never works that way. You've often heard, there's a lot of times someone will try to lift somebody up, but what happens a lot of time? If they yoke with them, the other person pulls them down, unfortunately. Now, certainly we should try to help people up, but we're not going to do that by joining them and living like them. And that's what the Bible is telling us. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, when he says world, he's not talking about you shouldn't love to be alive and be here, and you shouldn't enjoy things. What he's saying is your life shouldn't be based on things in this world. What we saw in the beginning, it shouldn't be based on how nice the church you go to is, how nice your clothes are, what car you drive. Those type of things, what job you have, those are not the things that you should be loving and living for. You should be living for and loving the Father. Ephesians 5, but ye therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So we see here, even though we're saved by grace and this is a free gift, if we're going to be Christians and followers of Christ, there's some things that are expected of us. But not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we won't sin. But listen, we used to be under the wrath. We used to be with this group of people. But now we have the light. And the worst thing you can do is hide it, right? You heard that song, This Little Light of Mine? I'm going to let it shine, and that's the most singing I'll do for your sake. But we've all heard that song. We don't want to hide that light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So here's the final thoughts on what it means to be Christian. It's following the commandments of Jesus. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It's to love your neighbor of yourself. It's to love your enemies. It's to bless them that curse you. It's that people will see that you're different, not because you dress different or you live completely different, but how you handle things, how you react to things, how you treat people, even when they don't treat you so nice. Luke 9:23 says, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So how often are we to take up our cross? Daily, not just once a week or once a month, but daily. Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Folks, that's what I want for all of us, is to be followers of Christ, to be disciples. And let me tell you something. When you see somebody change, when you bless someone that hasn't blessed you and you see a change in them, there's nothing that lifts your spirit like that. There's nothing that can bring joy like seeing your example can have a good influence on somebody else. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Despite all the evil and wickedness in the world, the one that's in us is even greater than all of that. And now the final verse, and this sums up everything we've been talking about in John 13, verse 33 through 34. Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Isn't it nice that we're being called little children? When you get older, you don't mind things like that. Feels good. I said, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. that ye also love one another. That's what's going to make being a Christian different, that we love one another. They shall know us by our love. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much as we come into this season where we're celebrating the death and resurrection of your Son, that you sent your Son to die for us, that sacrifice he made, that we could be saved. And dear Lord, we know the world is a tough place to be, and it's tough to be a good example nowadays. Often those who say and do the right things are put down, but help us to shine. Help us to shine our light, not be afraid, not be ashamed, but to keep that light shining. And help us to be there for each other. Just like we have a lot of sick and a lot of families hurting in this church, help us to reach out a hand. Help us to show love. And dear Lord, be with everyone here today. Bless every family and give them safety on their way home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.